You see, even her voice has changed. And Liz, you're going to help me this morning, aren't you? And Liz
Correct.
is going to lead the service. I hope you might have sight of the service in front of you. If not, close your eyes and listen. Thank you, Liz. Oh no, it's me, isn't it? And you're doing the readings.
That okay?
Yep, that's fine. Yep.
Okay, that's fine. Whichever you want.
Grace. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you
And
and
also
also
with
with
you.
you. O Lord, open our lips, and our
Our
mouths
mouth
shall
shall
proclaim your
proclaim your
praise.
praise.
We humbly gather in God's presence, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. We thank you, God, for the breath that sustains us and the community that surrounds us. Let us come and worship you with hearts thankful for all your blessings to us. Amen.
Amen.
The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And a prayer of confession. Heavenly Father, we confess that we enchain ourselves with worries and fears, cares and concerns. Our mindsets become manacles that hinder us from serving you. We drag ourselves through days instead of casting our cares on you. We look to you as we shrug off the chains that bind us, and we recommit to living life to the fullness of the glorious freedom won for us by Jesus. Amen. Your forgiveness loosens our chains, O God. The burden of guilt that had us bound falls away. We are free to love and serve as your unchained children. Amen.
Amen.
Liz is going to read our first reading.
The first reading is 2 Timothy 2, starting at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown his himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning is Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And Liz is going to bring us our second reading.
The second reading is Luke 17, starting at verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising the Lord in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
Thanks be
be to
to God.
God.
I sometimes have to remind myself that the Christian church is older than the books of the New Testament. If I thought about it hard enough, I would know this, because the books of the New Testament were written by the people who were part of the first century church, who were living through and part of the growth, excitement, and hardship of being an early Christian believer. And it's also worth remembering that contained within the New Testament are passages of scripture, hymns, and creeds which predate the books themselves. They show us what the first Christians believed and the principles they upheld. But how did those first Christians pass on those beliefs and principles? Let's face it, they didn't have Facebook or social media. And how did they do that, especially when the vast majority of people could not read or write? Well, they created songs and hymns and creeds which they could pass on and which would be easy to remember. And the New Testament is full of them, and none of them are longer than a few lines. They are, in fact, the first liturgies developed by the early church to help new disciples practice and remember their faith. And today, in our reading, Paul's letter to Timothy, we have two of those early creeds. The first is in verse 8. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. Always remember. And the second is contained within verses 11 to 13. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Paul tells Timothy that this creed, these words, are a sure saying. They are trustworthy, they are notable, and they are worth remembering. You can almost imagine those first disciples repeating these words over and over again, making sure that they were fixed in their hearts and minds. Learning verses from the Bible seems to have dropped out of fashion, but it was very much part of my childhood, and I'm grateful for it. It's one of the reasons I love so many of the modern worship songs, where the words come directly from the Bible. As you can imagine, I was so thankful to have learnt some of those words and to have them in my head while I was in hospital. I had several recurring refrains, but one of them was this: "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." I realised that I knew those words, but actually it was so much more than that. I knew them in my knower. I knew them in my soul. I know that they are a sure saying and they are trustworthy. I have complete confidence in them. And Paul knew that those words were sound and sacred in his knower too. Let's not forget that Paul is writing to Timothy while he is in prison. These things are looking pretty bleak for Paul, and yet he can say with total conviction, "I am suffering and I have been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be chained." God's word is living and active. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, is the living word. And do you know what? His word lives in us, in you and me. How amazing is that? So what else does Paul say? What does he want Timothy to know? You might like to have a look at the passage from 2 Timothy as I go through the rest of this sermon. Firstly, if we die with him, we will also live with him. For many of us, death is seen as a one-way ticket. Once we are dead, that's it, we're dead. But as the early Christians grappled with what they believed about death, they realized that as followers of Jesus Christ, filled with his Spirit, made children of God and heirs alongside Jesus, something had fundamentally changed. They were no longer the same. Their lives were joined with Jesus Christ in a mystical union. They were in him and he was in them. It is the picture of the vine that Jesus spoke about to his disciples. The vine and the branches are one. They are joined together. You can't see the join. Followers of Jesus were and are the answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17, verse 21. Listen to what Jesus prayed. "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. You are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me." Therefore, when Jesus offered himself as a ransom for many by dying on the cross, Jesus' followers realized that they could die with him, and when the Father raised Jesus from the dead, they would rise from death with him. Jesus' death and resurrection means new birth new creation, starting over really is possible. By dying and rising with Jesus, we can be remade in the image of our Saviour, free from our brokenness, to face our responsibilities in this life with freedom rather than guilt, and to have the hope of heaven in our hearts. Secondly, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Dying and rising with Christ does not mean that life becomes easy. Our faith does not immediately end the reality of life, but it does point us in a different direction, one where our reward lies with Jesus Christ, not in the expectations of this culture or this world. You and I can look forward with confidence to eternal life. This is the hope of heaven, the hope that spurs us on and helps us to persevere. I have never felt more sure about the promise of eternal life when I was told that I probably would not survive my surgery. I suddenly knew with absolute clarity that eternal life was mine, whether I survived and lived or if I died. Actually, I'm experiencing eternal life now. It didn't make a jot of difference whether I lived or died, because I was in Christ and he is in me. I hope you know this too. I hope you know the hope of heaven in your hearts. And thirdly, and here's the tricky part, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Ouch. No one likes this part of the creed, me included. It feels cold and harsh and out of step with the hopefulness of the previous two lines. Worse, it seems like a direct contradiction with the next line, that Jesus is faithful even when we are faithless. So what's going on here? I suggest this line is a warning. It's rather like Jesus's words in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. It's much like Jesus's parables about not being forgiven if we do not forgive. In other words, we cannot live our lives any old way, knowing God will forgive us and that the way we live doesn't really matter. As a young person, teenager and in my 20s, I really thought I could live my life exactly as I wanted and then have some sort of deathbed confession. And I could have had a very nice, easy time of it, and everything would be all right in the end. The early church were sure that they needed to remind themselves first and foremost that they cannot expect the faithfulness of Christ if they themselves were not faithful. We have no rights here, no entitlement. It does matter how we live. We are to endure in faithful living, not giving in to the ways of the world. And yet, if we decide to deny Jesus, how can we expect anything other than that he would deny us? And here's the good news, the good news of the last verse. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The very death and resurrection of Jesus testifies to the gracious God, the one who remained faithful even when we are faithless. Because God is God, Faithfulness is his middle name. If he were to abandon us, even when we have proved faithless, he would not only be denying us, but he would be denying himself. And throughout the Old Testament, God revealed himself as a God of steadfast love, who delights to call his people back when they have let him down, and to keep his side of his covenant promises, even when his people abandon theirs. We should not take our salvation casually, whilst at the same time knowing with absolute certainty that our hope is not based on our own efforts, but on the unrelenting mercy of the Most High God. With short, memorable sentences, creeds set before us the unmistakable heart of God in Jesus Christ. They paint pictures in concise but loaded words of God's love for us. Not so that we can passively and mindlessly assent to them, but so we can respond in kind to God's love. In short, the work of the liturgy is to help people fall in love with what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hang on a moment. Fall in love? Really? Sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking that liturgy and worship are there to help us feel better about ourselves. But let's not forget the original purpose of worship, liturgy, and the creeds: to love God. Remember the greatest commandment according to Jesus: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The purpose of each line in the 2 Timothy Creed is to inspire in us awe and gratitude and desire, to inspire us to love God with all our hearts as we press deeper into his holy love. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Amen.
Amen.
And now Liz is going to lead us in our prayers.
God of peace, we remember the events of 2 years ago that brought about the war in the Middle East, the destruction of Gaza, the thousands of lost lives in Palestine and Israel, and the imprisonment and death of hostages. We keep in mind the people of Ukraine who continue to face occupation and conflict. We look in confusion and despair at the images of the suffering and desperation that fills our news, and we see no human end. We pray for those who are leading negotiations for peace. We pray that those homeless wandering would find rest and shelter, and those mourning or in despair to find some comfort. God of peace, we hand this to you as we are powerless and we know you bring a good future. God brings freedom, hope, and peace. God's word
is not chained.
God of justice, we pray for all those who are given power or elected to powerful positions, and we think of our own country and our political leaders. We pray for a sense of calm and balance in all that they say and do, and for the compassion in politics and attitudes. We ask that they would have the wisdom and grace to use words that bring unity rather than division, and words of love and care for others rather than of selfishness and unnecessary fear. We pray for words of honesty and truth to be set at the centre of reporting, and that all would be free to live in peace and safety. God of justice, we hand this to you as we are powerless, and we know you bring grace and fairness. God brings freedom, hope, and peace. God's word is not chained. God of hope, you have called us to be a part of your community here and to bring hope into the lives of others. We think of those who serve us in our church, including the leaders who teach and lead us in worship, the practical people who make things happen and do the unseen work, and all the people who serve quietly without anyone really noticing. We pray for those who serve us in our schools, colleges, shops, surgeries, and all the other places that build this area. We ask that you should show each of us and us as a fellowship of believers what we can do to bring your light and hope to others. We pray for those who are lost in illness, that healing will find them in whatever shape that is, especially for Steph, Jacques, Rosemary, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Paul, Colin, Ian, Cynthia, John, Tom, Margaret, Harry, Susie, Elizabeth, Chris, Joy, David, Tony, and those at Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. We also pray for those who tread the path of sorrow, mourning those they have lost and loved, or loved and lost, including Myrtle Weber, Frances Moddy Lambert, Harry Han, Adrienne Addy Panifer. God of hope, on our own we are powerless, but with you we know we can be people of hope. God brings freedom, hope, and peace. God's word is not chained. We declare, as followers of Jesus Christ, what we believe, we remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news. This is the word of God, cannot be chained. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Amen.
Amen. And a collect for the day, the 17th Sunday after Trinity. Gracious God, you call us to fullness of life. Deliver us from unbelief and banish our anxieties with the liberating love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The love of Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us, and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Go with the love and power of God to be the best that you can be and to be God's faithful servant in the weeks ahead. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So lovely to be with you.
Oh, it's so good to have you.
So good to see you.
Indeed. Also, thanks to you, Steph, and to Liz. Thank you.
Well, just we keep on going, don't we?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Amazing.
Yes.
God gives us the strength.
Yeah. Yes, and yes. Thank you so much for your company and for your prayers.
Yes.
And I'm not entirely sure what's happening next week because I keep looking things up and then forgetting them.
Hopeless.
But anyway,
that's just normal.
Is that normal?
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Oh dear.
Turn Have up a wonderful week, everyone.
Yeah, and you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Everyone. Thinking of you.
Have a good week. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, Brian.
Bye, Brian.
Bye, Brian.
You can hear us. It's been lovely having you join us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.